I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Remember?
I actually can't remember.
Should I hit play on one of them?
Yeah, please, because I actually can't remember.
I can't either.
Like, my mind is completely blank.
Mine too. Let's try this Glitz Girl reunion one.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, petty bitches. Okay, there we go, yeah.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. You ready? So, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, petty bitches.
This is Davina Devine.
And this is Victoria's Secret, and we are back.
We are back in body, mind, and spirit. I'm not going to lie to you. I am literally, like, holed up in bed. Literally, I just have the microphone positioned to my mouth.
Are you actually lying in bed?
Yeah, and I'm literally, like, having the full-on Mariah Carey experience. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm taking this easy.
Fair. I only woke up and I did an interview for something that you did on Friday, and it was about coming out, and I literally was only awake, and I was like, how am I talking about something so heavy, and I've just woke up.
I know, like, my eyes have just opened, and you're straight into the media one. Well, it's nice to be back. It's, well, like, per se, I don't really feel like we're back. It doesn't feel like we've gone anywhere.
No, we definitely didn't go anywhere because we're not allowed to travel outside of our 5 kilometers.
I know, the joys of lockdown. We're still in it, still surviving. Heartbeat is still going.
I've missed doing this, to be honest. Like, at first, I was like, okay, we need a month off. Like, we were feeling very sorry for ourselves in December. We were like, we need time off. And then we got the time off, and you and me were like, so what do we do?
I know. It's, do you know what it is, though? It's, I think, even still being locked down and doing this kind of stuff, whatever it is from home, it's just not very fulfilling in any way. And it's like, the more it goes on, it's a nice little bit of interaction. I miss the interaction with people, but it's really tough. It takes the enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. Well, we've dipped our big toe. We're back doing little live shows. And let's, like, get into it. There's so much we've missed over the last 2 months. Actually, there's been so many times where I was like, oh, I wish we were doing the podcast. I'd love to talk about that right now.
I know, and let alone our rotters of, I don't even want to say rotters of the week, like, there's been so many rotters. My phone, I nearly had to upgrade the memory on the phone because there's been that many rotters, so my list is pumping.
Well, why don't we start with a bit of a catch-up on TV, because we both just watched something this weekend, which was the Framing Britney Spears documentary, which only just came out.
Hashtag Free Britney.
Mm.
I enjoyed it. I watched it live when it went out on, I think it was Friday, whatever, whenever it was. But apparently they've done a series, so I'm curious to see what other episodes that they have in that series. It's the New York Times Presents.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else they've done.
Oh, okay.
But it sounds like it'd be right up my street.
Well, firstly, Felicia, her assistant with the, yes, with the gorge fringe. I'm a bit obsessed with her. I was like, oh my God, I need Felicia in everything.
She was so country, wasn't she?
Wasn't she?
Yeah, very southern, like auntie. I enjoyed her. She was kind of one of the best parts of, but there was nothing really new. But what did strike me was, do you remember when Britney was going through all that like heavy stuff back?
Yeah.
Because I always remember it was, I was used to read Perez Hilton like every day.
Yeah, me too.
The Perez Hilton blog. And I remember thinking, she's not going to make it out this year. No. Like, I remember thinking she's definitely going to die young. She was just, it was just going that way. And I'm glad it didn't, obviously, and she kind of turned it around. But it was scary, touch and go there for a while, I think, for her. And it was so bad.
So bad. And watching the documentary, all I could think of was like, you know, when you've had a little day yourself where you're actually really not in the best of it, you've had a really rough week with whatever's going on. Can you imagine that matched with all those flashes going off in your face, which must be scary as it is. And then like people laughing at you on telly. And we were those people reading Perez Hilton. And now I'm like looking at it going, oh my God, that Perez Hilton website was scum, like when you think about it.
Yeah, it really was. Like, but you know, gossip in all kind of forms, I suppose, is, but like, it's a big, such a big business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those photographers, like those photos put their kids through college, you know, that kind of way.
100%. Do you think she's going to get out of that, what's it called? Conservatorship?
I think eventually she will. I don't like that dad at all. There's just something real sinister about him. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Even when he was making the grits, I'm like, he's like, cheese and grits. A girl loves cheese and grits. Mm. And I was like, oh, I don't need those grits. I was like, he's like, God knows what he's putting in Brit's grits.
But then you think of it like Beyonce got rid of her dad. All these like crazy dads in the background that are like looming out for what they can get. Until
we have crazy dads as well.
It's fine. My dad just gets slippers at Christmas. It's totally fine. He's not getting nothing else.
That's hilarious. Yeah, but it was a great documentary. Very salacious. I kind of can't get over the Justin Timberlake stuff.
Yeah. Okay. What did you make of that?
I remember even at the time, like they were kind of trying to allude like that Justin was kind of slut-shaming her, and the media kind of was, which is kind of true. It is like the boys' world in that way. Like, you know, the girl's a slut and the fella is like top dog, you know, which is really unfair because no one knows what went on there. And he should have actually been gentlemanly enough to just put the, you know, or either say nothing or put the record straight, and he didn't either.
Yeah, and he had marketing people in his ear as well, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Like, the root of it is Hollywood is evil, for sure.
Yeah, so, well, it's show business. They're not in it to make friends.
Come here. So everyone obviously got obsessed with Bridgerton over January, except you. It's kind of old news, but I was thinking about it yesterday because I was listening to someone else talk about it. We had Nicola Coughlan, who is basically one of the leads in Bridgerton. I won't ruin it for you. Her part is huge in it.
Don't worry, I won't be watching it.
And I was chasing her to do an interview with us for the podcast at the time when she was in the middle of recording Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And only now I watch it and realize what a huge, huge worldwide show it was. And here's me going, ah, come on, Nicola, come on, get in the podcast. You'll be grand. Get your wig off. You'll be totally fine.
Well, she did it. That's the main thing. So fair play to her for getting in and doing it.
Yeah. And her agent who was like organizing her schedule and stuff like that. Lovely. Really sound. But I felt kind of bad when I saw how big the show was.
Oh, but they do loads of press and loads of interviews like that. So I'm sure she's probably well used to it by now.
Fair.
It seems to have done really well. I just don't like those period style, like Downton Abbey vibes or, you know, Emma, Jane Eyre. No, not for me. What era is that actually?
It's in an era, which I have no idea. So, yeah, I have no idea, to be honest. But I loved it. It's actually high drag. The costumes, the wigs, the lot. Loved every bit of it. Did you watch It's a Sin?
No, I didn't watch that either, actually, to be honest. And I love Russell T Davies, and I loved Queer as Folk, and I will watch this, and I'm going to save it till after the pandemic, because I just can't deal with the emotional heaviness of it. Like, and I knew it was going to be that way. When I first kind of saw it, I thought it was going to be, you know, just in another gay show. But then when I knew it was all about the AIDS thing in London in the 80s and all that, it's just, it's too heavy mentally for me right now. I need to keep things light and just fluffy, like more of the Britney shit. Give me that.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's not, her life.
That's not light.
Well, it's celebrity totter and I'm down for that. I'm just not into like hearing about more people dying or sickness or I want to keep it light.
I can tell you I watched the first three episodes and I thought I was going to binge it. I watched two the first day it came out, and then the third one, I was like, it took me a week to get around to watching it because I was like, it's heavy. Like, it is heavy. So I think if you're not feeling that moment right now, you made the right choice.
Yeah, like, I'll come back to it definitely because I think his stuff is brilliant and Queer as Folk is iconic. Yeah, I'll save. I'll put a pin in it for now. But I did watch a documentary about Taboo, about Boy George's musical, which was set, they were all in around that time, which was a bit more slapstick and a bit more kind of like camp scene vibes.
Yeah.
I send it to you? Did you watch it?
I actually haven't watched it yet. I thought I had watched it before, but I'd watched something else that was similar to that.
And they were talking about kind of like the scene just before all that kind of the AIDS epidemic broke out. And it was just about their kind of rise to fame, like the New Romantics and all that kind of stuff, which was actually kind of gas and just a little lighter.
Yeah. Time of year. A good camp time as well, do you know that kind of way?
Yes, absolutely.
We've obviously been watching Real Housewives and we're not going to get into that too much right now because our very special guest is from The Real Housewives. To be honest, we're a bit shook that we have her. She will be on in the episode later on. It is New Jersey's Realest Housewife, aka Margaret Josephs.
Yes, the powerhouse of pigtails herself.
Davina's new bestie. And at this point, it's probably a good time to announce that we are launching our first Patreon for the podcast. Now, what can you expect on the Patreon? There is a ton more content. Everything from video to bonus episodes. You'll get extra parts of the interviews with the special guests that we didn't get time to put into this episode. Plus, when it stops recording with the special guests, we get into what we made of it, what we really thought, how it all went, and other topics that are just that bit too hot for the main podcast that we can only share in private.
So how to burn your eardrums.
So you can head over to patreon.com/paylittlethingspod and check it out.
Do that.
Lovely little stutter.
Just to say, actually, do you know, so today is Thursday, obviously, and the new podcast, and you know it's Chinese New Year's Eve?
I don't.
Yes, it's Chinese New Year's Eve. So I was brushing up my Chinese earlier on. It's Zi Ni Kuai Nao.
Does that mean Happy New Year?
Again. Zi Ni Kuai Anua is Happy New Year in Chinese. And yeah, it's Year of the Ox that we're going into now, and we have come out of Year of the Pig.
Oh.
No, Year of the Pig, sorry, Year of the Pig was 2019.
Okay.
So, let me see. I think it was, we're in Year of the Ox now.
Okay.
So, I had to laugh because
2020 doesn't get a year, by the way. We don't know her.
Well, I think 2020 should be left out, don't you?
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to just Google
2020 that. Was the Year of the Pig extended.
Literally, 2020.
What year were you born in? I think I was the Year of the Rat.
It was the Metal Rat was last year.
The Metal Rat?
Yeah, so the Metal Rat, that's what happens when they come around, like I think it's every 12 years or something.
Okay.
So they, like, it's a Metal Ox this year.
Okay.
Let me see. But check this out. When I was doing a bit of research and I was just reading about all the years, it said, according to the Chinese Zodiac, 2019 is Year of the Pig. Though this might sound promising to all pig signs, people born in blah 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 all the years of the pig, it turns out that the stars might actually hold some trouble for pigs in 2019. How right were they? Fucking COVID-19 here, of course. There was a
pig lady
for the pigs. Yeah, so happy Chinese New Year to everyone over in Asia. It's not just the Chinese that celebrate, apparently, but it looks like a fabulous 2 weeks of celebrations. And I'd love to be celebrating something.
Well, I'm going to tell you two things. Firstly, we're huge in Asia. So to all our Asian fans, yeah, Happy New Year. And secondly, we actually do have listeners in the Philippines. Secondly,
yeah,
Chinese New Year kind of messes with drag orders every year. And that is something I'm not happy about. So
to
if
be
you
honest,
ordered
that's
it,
what...
Go on.
That's what made me think about this.
That... Right? The wig manufacturer's clothes. If you're looking to get any gorgeous new dresses or jewels on Ali, yeah, think again, girl, because you ain't getting nothing.
Or just kind of like put your orders to March, like order in March.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a backlog now.
Very bad. So no new lace fronts. Actually, there's been a wig shortage this whole last year anyway, so... well, except in this household. Come here, let's get into some salacious stories. We missed the Hilaria Baldwin thing, which I was fascinated about. I was sending you all the clips about Hilaria, who was the alleged pretend Spanish woman married to Alec Baldwin. She just restarted her Instagram as of this week. Did you see the post?
No, she's not really on my radar. Like, it's only kind of when you sent me that lady, Tracy, who's kind of doing these deep dives on people, that it was just kind of, like, ironically enough, it was kind of hilarious. Like, the whole thing was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hilarious Baldwin.
It was when she said on, like, live TV, how do you say this? Tomato?
In English.
Tomato? Yeah, in English. Tomato. I'm like,
cucumber.
Cucumber. That's what it is. Girl, you grew up in Boston. Like, get a grip.
So bizarre, like so strange, and I don't even know what the point of it was.
I think as well, like, because the Americans are like fascinated with like the Eva Longoria's. What's your woman name from Modern Family? Oh, she's gorge glam.
I know the when you talk. I know the girl you're talking about, Sofia Vergara.
Yes. Oh, they just love her, and I feel like it almost felt like she was trying to cash in on that kind of vibe, but that's like authentic to them.
Yeah, and I think as well, though, wasn't she saying that she was from Spain? So I think, like, you know, if you're European over in America, you're just a little bit more exotic.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, they ain't very exotic over there.
No, they're
let's
not.
Let's just put that out there.
They're not. And in other salacious news, Ginny Lemon, I know you're not watching RuPaul's Drag Race UK, but in this week's episode, Ginny Lemon made it into the bottom two and thought, fuck this, I'm not lip syncing. So the lip sync starts. She gestures her hands up into the air like she's about to start performing, turns around, laughs, waves at the judges and fucks off the main stage and was like, I'm knackered. I'm going home. That's what she said to the camera.
Is that what happened?
That is. Now, there was rumours that she'd told the judges, you know, basically to F off. And those rumours have been going for months now. It even ended up in the press as well. Whether that happened or not, they might have re-edited it. I'm not sure. But there was definitely a moment.
Yeah, because I was aware of Ginny. Like, I've seen her on Instagram and stuff. And you told me that that was coming up. So I was just wondering if it was actually going to be shown.
Yeah, no middle finger was flipped. No rude words were said, like, on like the actual episode that went out. I don't know if anything actually did happen.
Oh, that's a shame. It would have made it a bit more interesting. They should do that, like, no holds barred, like, just not edit the show and let drag queens go to town. Mm-hmm. That is a show I'd watch.
Oh, well, they did in the US version last week. Two girls went absolutely, like, bad girls club on each other. Absolutely in each other's face, saying they were going to, like, basically
a
kick
fight?
The head off each other. No punches were thrown, but, like, it was very heated. Like, we could never.
Oh. And was that in front of you or in the workroom?
No, in the workroom.
Oh. See, you need them to just, like... cause murder with Rue. That's what you really want. You want someone to throw a chair, like, at least, like, come on, like, there's enough reality TV gone. They need to, like, up the ante now on this show.
Fair. And you know who I would have a fight with at the moment?
Who?
Any single Australian drag queen flaunting their freedom in my face on their Instagram as they move freely through crowds, up on real stages, performing while, like, I'm in my sitting room still a year later.
I know. And as much as I did not like Australia, the thoughts of a trip there is something that really appeals to me at the moment.
Yeah. Should we do it? Should we just go and pay the 3 grand to, like, isolate for 2 weeks and get back to work in Australia instead?
Do you know, at least we'd be isolating like a nice hotel. It'd feel like a little holiday. I'd even go just to isolate in the hotel and come back.
Fair. Very fair. Right, that's it, girls. We're taking the podcast to Australia. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again whenever we're back. Whenever that's going to be.
From Kerry Coronavirus.
Come here, it's only 6 days until my hair transplant, girl.
Oh, very good. Are you excited?
I'm a little bit nervous because, I mean, the recovery, do you bruise easily?
It depends where.
Well, I'm a bruiser, I'm a bleeder, I'm all of
those
things.
You're a bruiser, all right.
And as it gets closer, well, firstly, I have to go teetotal for the week before it. I'm not allowed to wear hats for the week before it.
Cancel the hair transplants.
So, I don't know, like, it just feels like, and I'm also gearing up for the you know, recovery part. It's not nice. Did I ever show you these pictures from when I was recovering the last time?
No.
Well, I had a golf ball size swelling on my forehead that moved from the top of my head all the way down until it was like in between my eyes. So I look like Star Trek, one of those mad like characters that they'd find.
I can see why you didn't show me that picture.
You would have got artistic on it.
And tell me this, like, so will you have loads of bald spots on your back then from there?
No, this is a different one. Now, I'll get into it properly because I think we're going to have the surgeon on to talk about it. And maybe some of you guys might want to come on and share your hair stories again. But at present, I'm just feeling a bit nervous again. I don't fancy this. I'm really not looking forward to it. But also, I don't want to be baldy.
We know a couple of people that have had hair transplants, and I think the recovery process is different for some. Like, sometimes people swell up around the brows, and then some people swell up around the neck. So I think it's the first 24 hours after it can go either way. So hopefully you might have a different experience this time, you know?
Oh, do you think my bum is going to swell this time and I'll end up with a big J-Lo ass?
You might end up with actually a normal arse and you'll just be swollen.
I won't be padding next year, hun. Oh, look at me bum. Oh, that'd be the dream.
You won't know yourself in your River Island jeans.
Boot cut like Meredith Marks.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Hey, Vicky.
I need to admit something to you. I broke a rule yesterday.
What did you do?
Right, so there's this delicious Chinese that's over by my mom's, but it's not within my 5K. And I woke up yesterday and I was like, oh, do you know what? You've been like amazing this week. You're just a great person. You deserve that Chinese. So I rang that Chinese and I drove over and got it. Now it's just outside the 5K, but I deserved it.
You drove 1 5K, 15K for that Chinese. You would have gone to China for New Year's for that Chinese, let's face it.
Oh my God. Yeah, but do I regret it? You. No.
No.
And there's leftovers in the fridge for lunch today?
Oh, very good. Well, I've been trying to kind of like cook at home and actually just like, to be honest, purely out of boredom, like to make the days have a bit of structure.
Yeah.
So just to like, you know, I'm like, what am I going to make today? And turns out I'm actually not a bad cook. I'm surprised myself because I kind of hate saying that because I feel like then people will be like, oh, well, you can cook. And I'm like, no, I like saying I can't cook and I can't drive, you know, things like that. Because then you don't have to do it.
So when are you having me over?
When the restrictions are lifted.
I'll get a COVID test, babe. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, I'll order from that Chinese and have it delivered to you. If you're coming over, I'll pay for it.
Okay. What's your dish? What's Davina's dish of the day then? What is her like absolute best dish?
Oh, at the moment? Oh, I've just been doing a lot of like just steamed fish and veg and like nothing like, I'm not doing like a la carte, you know, early bird specials or anything like.
So basically nothing with any taste. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, no. See, that's the thing. No, I've actually been making things very flavorsome, but a lot of my cooking now be guesswork. So there's been hit and miss moments, which I'm down with.
No measures here. None whatsoever.
Listen, I don't measure anything. You know, I don't measure anything. You've seen me in action at that bar.
Yeah, I can actually confirm that. Your measures are very strong.
Yeah. So I like a bit of taste and I like to be poisoned when I drink. So... yeah, so I don't do anything by halves.
Well, speaking of things that you shouldn't eat, like you're cooking, it was snowing earlier outside my window. Was it snowing down by you?
Oh, no, I'm in the Bahamas. It was kind of like sleety.
I was given the Windows Evils. I was like, don't you stick. Don't you stay around. I do not like the snow at all.
Yeah, I don't think it'll stick. I don't think it's around for the long haul.
The only reason I used to like the snow was because you could call in sick to work. That was it. And now I've nowhere to call in sick to because the world has called in sick on me.
It's like when we were doing that show last week and you thought I was going to fall asleep and not turn up for the live show.
I really did. I really, really thought that.
I was very hungover. It was touch and go. And I thought to myself, I'll just have a little nap. I was in drag and I just lay down with like hands across chest like a vampire. And I thought, I'll just have a little nap. And then I thought, oh God, imagine I didn't wake up and you were waiting to go on and I just wasn't there. And you know what? Part of me didn't care either.
Oh my God, that's too funny. So I did think, do I know any of Davina's neighbors? Like that I could ring them and say, oh, just knock on her door there. Wake her up there, lazy bitch. But I don't because I don't even know my own neighbors, let alone yours.
Do you remember when sometimes we'd be doing bingo and Dolly wouldn't show up and we'd be like waiting, we'd be like, where's Dolly? And we'd have to send a search party out to Dolly's house. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember one time we had to send Connor Bean. Connor Bean was covering for, I think, Karen. So Connor had to fly over. Dolly lived close to the George and didn't know what apartment she lived in, though. So had to ring all the bells.
And did it work?
So she answered. Eventually, he like was like, hi, is this... And then I think Connor forgot what Dolly's real name was. So it's like... So it was like, is that Dolly? And someone eventually was like, no, apartment 3 or whatever. And eventually just kept ringing number 3, 3, 3. Hello? So yeah, that was hilarious. I'm sure if Dolly's listening, you'll remember those days, Dolly. You'd be dying for one of those buzz calls now.
Right, well, let's start with the facts. Dolly's not listening, okay, girl?
She does. Dolly's been listening for the last couple of episodes.
Oh, okay. We converted her, did we? She's nothing else to do, clearly, so she's finally giving.
We've actually grinded her down. She's finally given in and listened.
My favourite would have been like when it was getting close to maybe like the 7, 8 o'clock mark and she hadn't shown up yet. And you just feel a moment and you're going, oh God, is she going to make it? Because you know, if Dolly doesn't make it and there's one less person on the show, you've got to do an extra number.
You got a graft.
So you want Dolly there so you don't have to sweat that bit more by doing an extra number.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all on my list of stories for today.
Yeah, me too. Like, there's just, it's been a very uneventful, and we have been kind of taking it easy. So we're getting back into the swing of things now, and things should start moving in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully we have more to discuss.
Yep, that's right. And still to come, we have got all your cringy Valentine / romantic stories that you wanted to share, you fools, on our podcast. So we'll be reading those out next, plus sharing some of our own stories. So stay tuned.
So we're back and we have reached out to you guys. It is Valentine's weekend this weekend, everybody's favorite holiday. And it's actually the first kind of holiday of the calendar, really, isn't it? First Valentine's is the first thing.
How dare you overlook our sister Bridget and St. Bridget's Day? Oh,
St. Bridget's Day. How could I forget?
And the crosses she makes. How dare you?
Oh, St. Bridget. God rest her soul. Yeah, so that, of course, is the first. Actually, do you know what I was wondering? Why is that not a holiday, like a proper holiday, like Paddy's Day?
Yeah, because she's a woman, clearly. You know what this country's like. Say no more.
Like, it's very similar. To be honest, it's actually a bit more interesting because, like, those shamrock badges are shite on Paddy's Day. I'd much rather do one of those glam crosses.
Well, you'll be glad to know that for the second year in a row, Patrick's Day is cancelled, so...
Thank God. We're neither a fan of Patrick's Day, but we do like to get a Paddy's Day drunk.
Yeah.
But we just don't like the messiness of City Centre.
Yeah, and I'd murder a gig right now in real life, so I'm fucking raging.
Well, we were hoping. But you listen, as I said, it is Valentine's Day this weekend. So we have reached out to you and we've asked you for your funniest or your cringiest kind of romantic moments. And we did get a good response on fun things.
Oh, really?
So tell us some of the people that replied to you and I'll give you some of mine then.
Okay, my first one. Short, sweet and straight to it, but I love this. It's from Insta Ryan Grams. And they said, on a first date, he said I was looking slimmer than my pics. Then he said, yeah. Then he said, he preferred me fat. I think I'd kiss him right there and then. I'd be like, oh, thank you so much. See you later, hun. Bye.
Oh my God. Have you noticed lately? And now this is now between me and you. This is a very sensitive topic, okay, I suppose, for us at the moment. There are some people, I think, that like a bit of weight really suits them.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like, you know, when they would lose a lot of weight quick.
Yeah.
They don't look as hot as they did when, like, you know, there's a little bit of something going on.
Yeah, I kind of get that. You know what? Everyone is so different. I have to say, the last year has been a challenge to try and not turn into the 50-ton woman, okay? So yeah. Anyone, whatever they're feeling, as long as they're feeling fab, who gives a fuck? Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. It's just so funny, though. You know when you see people like that have lost so much weight and they literally just look like a completely different person?
They look hags. Sometimes a little bit of weight keeps people looking young.
That's what I mean. It's like plump is kind of like they have a little glow. I like a little bit of weight.
Oh, I like in a fella, I like a little belly. Like, yeah. I do enjoy that.
And I think it definitely keeps you, like, younger looking, I definitely think, because I think the more, like, you can look a little gaunt, let's just say.
So eat that tin of roses that's haunting you since Christmas.
Don't deny yourself. Let me see. Stumps121 said, my ex, for some reason, marked each month of our relationship with a rubber duck. I have feckin' 7 rubber ducks. So every month there would be like a rubber duck, and there would be either like, I asked for more information.
Yeah.
And she said there would be either like, you know, ducky socks or a ducky calendar but for no reason. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Right. Let's start with the facts. Your ex is the killer. They're going to be on a Netflix documentary very soon. Anyone who is doing that, they're the killer. You know, they're the killer. Like, they're going to be in a Scream movie, something like that.
No, what's so random, isn't it?
It's creepy. Like, no. Like, did the ex call that person Ducky or something?
No, just bizarre. Go ahead, give us another one there.
Okay. This is from Huckle_89. His boyfriend wanted to bring him on a double date to the cinema so that they could meet his parents.
At the cinema?
Yeah. I'm guessing this was pretty early days.
What? First off, the cinema is a shit date. That's a really bad date. And why would you, like, meeting someone in a cinema? That's bizarre.
Do you think it was a dirty movie?
I hope it was, because that's the only thing that saved that fucking date.
Oh, it's always a dirty movie when Davina takes you to the cinema, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then sneak into another one for free afterwards.
Go on, what's your next one?
Marty McGilligan sent me one saying, a rotten silver chain bracelet from Argos, my first Dublin boyfriend. Absolute skank, young love, thought it'd last forever. Elizabeth Duke's finest. You can't be a piece of jewellery from Argos. Oh, you really can't.
People were so into that, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's iconic. Like, it's definitely something that you could keep to give to the grandkids.
Okay, I have one here from Ross. Okay, Ross said, went home with this guy one night in the George. Didn't even like him. Just one of those nights. Anyway, in the morning, he sang me a song with his guitar, and then he wrote me a poem on his typewriter. He also wrote it to Roy, which is not my name.
Oh my God!
I wanted the ground to swallow me.
Oh my God, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. That's so random.
Like, do you think this person that they went home with was like Jessica Fletcher? Who still has a typewriter?
It always reminds me of that movie Misery. You know, your woman, I'm your number one fan, and then she breaks his ankles.
Yes.
Bizarre. And also, just like around Valentine's Day, that's just so strange.
Yeah, well, Ross has horrible ankles anyway, so, like, you know, they could do with a break.
Brian Flanagan said, wrote Valentine's cards to each other in the same room with our backs turned to each other.
That's high romance. Like, that is high key romance at its best.
Bizarre, but I'm sure it's very romantic all the same.
I mean, that's like a back-to-back chair wank, right? It's the same thing, except with pens. Okay, mm-hmm. Karen. Karen's is a little bit of a longer one. She said, oh my God, this just made me remember such an uncomfortable situation in college. One of my housemates was in a relationship with a guy for a number of years. His family were all very close and had gone on a number of big family holidays where literally all his relatives and their parents would fly out. My housemate was not into that kind of thing. Same, by the way, same, and had made it very clear. So it was coming up to Christmas and she knew he was going to take her somewhere as her Christmas gift. She was thinking a city break because they'd gone on plenty together before, just the two of them. For luck, the boyfriend had contacted another one of my housemates to run his idea past her, to which she told him not to tell her about it in front of either of their families and to talk to her immediately. Freaked out, her boyfriend told her on Christmas Eve that he'd paid a ton of money on a holiday to Orlando where they'd be joining his entire family on a 2-week holiday. To make matters worse, she had also explicitly told him that a trip to Orlando was her idea of a nightmare holiday. She said, "Well, you can find someone else to bring," and didn't speak to him all over Christmas or New Year's. And when the poor chap used to come to visit us, she told us to get at the door because she would be in her room. I would have cackled at the sheer clueless on his face if it wasn't so stiflingly awkward in the house that night. Needless to say, they never went on that holiday and he learnt a very expensive lesson.
Fair play to her. I like that she stuck to her guns.
She's very you, to be fair.
Yeah, I was thinking, if you say you're not going to do something and then they get it for you, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, now you've been to Orlando, I've never been, what's it like?
That was actually a nightmare holiday as well, because the hurricane, one of those, I think it was Hurricane Irma or something,
yeah,
was coming at that time, so I was only technically in Orlando for a day trip, so I had to come back straight away.
Yeah, you were there, was it even 2 days?
I think I was like 3 days or something, but I had one day of just like actual relaxing, one day to get there, one day to relax, then the hurricane was going to come, and then I had to leave like on the Thursday, and I arrived on Monday, so... It was literally a whistle stop tour.
You're like J-Lo flying all over the world like that.
I was.
Gas. Okay, give us another one.
Oh, actually, a very good friend of mine had a very romantic date before. Now, he didn't even write this out to me because he just reminded me about this. So he sent this in, but I have not in quite detail. Basically, met this guy from Gaydar. Mm-hmm. Went on a first date. When he met him, was nothing like the picture that he had sent. Mm-hmm. And basically, as soon as they met up, gave him a big bunch of flowers.
Oh, God.
And a hug. And then nestled into him on the walk. They went for like a little walk along the promenade and literally was nestled in like they'd been together for years, like an old age pensioner couple. And basically, it was like the cringiest, most awkward thing ever. And I think there was chocolates involved as well. So, yeah. And that person is still around to this day. I think person did drag as well, by the way.
Oh, okay. I want to know who that is after this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one for me is from Tone Rings. First date with the ex. I fell up the steps in the cinema. My popcorn and drink spilt all over the place. Now, I have to say, that's one of my biggest fears in the cinema is tripping with your popcorn and your drink and the whole cinema watching and laughing at you.
Yeah, there's nothing like falling in front of people.
No, not at all. Okay, what's your next one?
Eyelash MK said, "I couldn't buy you anything, so I just have a hug." Said that to him. Let me see. Jane wants a new username on Instagram.
Love that.
Jane said, "A guy gave me a beautiful Gucci perfume and a whip, and she wasn't even dating him." So I said, if you weren't dating him, what did you say? And she said, "Get off my property."
Okay, that's good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like that. That's a really good one.
She said she ran into him a little while later and they were on the bus. Mm. They were just chatting and, you know, chatting away. And then he just said to her, "So, did you ever use that whip?" And she was like, "Weirdest person ever." So, Jane, shout out to you.
I kind of do want to know if she used the whip, though.
I My guess is probably no.
Jane's going to have another new username after this. Okay, Shan Whelan said, cringiest thing ever for me is the fact I met my future wife on first poxy dates.
First dates?
Yeah. They actually
TV show. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I'd never thought anyone met anyone on that TV show.
I actually filmed something for that production company that's coming up. I think it's going to be on TV actually in February, maybe March. And they're the same production company that do first dates. And I was asking a lot of questions about first dates and just about how it goes, and they said a lot of people get stood up. There's an awful lot of arguing over money.
Oh, as in like who's gonna pay?
Yeah, that's like a big thing, because that's a lot of stuff that doesn't get actually to TV.
Yeah.
And they do it two ways. So you're either going to be a couple that's featured, or you're like a background dater. And I think they're given like €25 or something towards their meal. Whatever the difference is, they have to pay the difference. But it's always like, who is going to pay and will they pay? And some girls always expect the guys to pay.
Yeah.
And then some guys actually just want the women to pay. So there's always murder, apparently.
Money is bloody messy. But I firmly believe if you asked someone on the date, then you should be willing to cough up. Do you know that kind of way? Now, I wouldn't expect someone to. But if you asked the person out, I'm like, okay, you're taking me out. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
That keeps it kind of cleaner. I've never really watched First Dates because I find it a bit too cringe, especially the Irish one. But like, I'm impressed. If you found your wife on First Dates, go you. I remember working in Wright's Cafe Bar one night, and this girl told a story. I think I was asking for embarrassing stories, and some fella had taken her to the cinema and arrived with like a bag full of coins to buy the cinema tickets with.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like small coins. And she had to stand there while he counted out like 20s, 10s and 50s.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I love that.
No.
From my end, I don't think I have ever really had anything super cringy. At least anything, not that I can say on this because they probably listen. But I do remember getting like a gift basket off one person who definitely doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can say it. And it had a big stuffed cuddly toy. Now, I had like gotten a nice normal present for that person, and I just remember thinking, what like about me says cuddly toy? Like,
I know.
You know me a long time. Like, where would that cuddly toy go?
Oh, I know. I'm not into cuddly toys at all. I just find they're such a waste of space.
Yeah.
Dust gatherers.
Dust gatherers. It lived in the George, I think, for a year until we had to do a clear out. And I can report the cuddly toys in the bin now.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of cuddly toys at all. Or cuddly people.
Shut up! The man was right. You'd cuddle him no problem.
I don't think I've ever been given a... Do you know one thing that does really, like, I'm not a fan of? And I feel bad saying this because I know some people, like, non-romantically have given me things like this. But I'm just going to say it.
Oh, go on.
I'm not a fan of handcrafted things.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of somebody making something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like a painting. Like, if somebody was to, like, I mean something very basic. A card or something that they made for me. I'm not a fan of that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh. Shots fired. I was once given something, then you would hate this, which was a pop-up book. And the pop-up book was handmade. It detailed our first date and how we met. So what would you have done?
Oh, like that's what I'm saying. I've been given things like that before, and I always just accept it. I'm very polite, but I just don't like handcrafted things. Like, fair. I like mass produced shit that has like, you know, no sustainability. Like, I like loads of that shit. Like, it's just unless, like, I've been given things like, you know, I remember I got this amazing painting once and it was actually fabulous. Like, I actually hung it in my house because it was fab. But I don't, like, if you're not really a good drawer or really good at crafts, don't be making people shit. It's really fucking annoying.
Oh God, I do think about the Drag Race girls that got like a lot of like handmade stuff all the time. Oh, I think, how the hell are they gonna, like, where are they gonna put it? You'd need a whole other house.
I was gonna say, like, you know, we get the paintings and the art stuff done online. Like, I love all that. That stuff's fab because it's actually like anything that you'd share is like, or print out or have. I love that. But I'm talking about one thing I'm talking about in particular was like shitty cards just given to you. A little like lovey notes. No, not for me.
Well, what is the way into your heart? Like, what would you, like, if someone was to be like, do something for you or get something for you, that you'd be like, oh.
just leave me alone.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like there's, because I'm, you know, even with presence of like, I'm just so self-sufficient that it's like, there's nothing nobody could give me that I can't give myself. And I mean that in every way. So
that needs to be like a Tinder bio or something. That needs to be, that needs to be like a Tinder bio for sure.
Yeah. Like there's not, like there's nothing I crave from anyone. So that I can't even answer that. Like, well, there's nothing that I want from anybody.
Mine is thoughtfulness. If someone is just like really thoughtful, and it doesn't have to be like monetary, like I'm like that, that makes me melt kind of.
See, I always think, and this is just the cynic in me, I always just think when someone does it, I'm like, this, they, what are they fucking after? I'm always like, well, they want something.
You won't get one over on me.
No. No. There's always a motive. There's always a motive.
Very fair. Very fair. Okay. Well, that was our cringy little love fest moment. Thank you all for sending in your stories. We'll be in touch soon with more topics that we want to hear off you. What have we got coming up, Davina?
We have Rotters of the Week, and we also have the fabulous Powerhouse and Pigtails, Margaret Josephs from The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
We'll be back after this. Okay, you guys, so we have a very special guest on our hands. She is the powerhouse in pigtails that rocks every season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey's. Please welcome, it is New Jersey's realest housewife, Margaret Josephs.
Hi! Hi.
Margaret, we are so, so, so excited to have you on the podcast. Like, we are a massive, massive housewife fan and have been for yonks. So we're so thrilled that you agreed to give us like a minute of your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I love that you love me all the way from Ireland. I mean, yeah. I'm so excited. I can't believe it.
I'm sure you get offered like all the time to come on podcasts. And I just thought, you know what? This is probably something a little bit different across the pond, a little bit of perspective, you know, like, you know, how the fans are like seeing over here what the vibe is.
First of all, you're my people. I mean, I'm a full-blown drag queen myself.
So. We said that earlier. Yeah, we were literally. Like, so many housewives over all the different franchises have gone to the gay bars or had queens at events and stuff. But we said this earlier. We were like, no, Margaret having queens at her party last season was so genuine. It felt like so natural to you. I was like, she's an ally. She's one of the girls. It just felt right. It just it wasn't like a setup party. It felt real.
No, it wasn't. I do it all the time for years and years and years, and it's been my thing forever. And I've been such, even as a little girl, when I'm going to send you guys my book when it comes out, Caviar Dreams, it was such like a part of my life growing up as well with Marge, you know, Crazy Marge Senior.
Yeah.
And I never knew anything different.
Wow.
So it was so sad to me as I grew up to find out that, you know, anybody in the LGBTQ community was discriminated against or marginalized. I was shocked, truthfully, because I never knew anything different. So yes, it was completely natural for me.
Well, that's why it's so important to have, you know, allies like you who are on such major shows like you are. Okay. But I think we should get straight into it because I have seen the trailer for season 11, like Dangerous Rumors, Marriages Under Stress. And let's face it, the spirit of Joe Giudice is still in the background. Also, your tagline, I renovate, elevate, and sometimes I instigate. We love it. We love it.
I know. Well, finally, the trailer says it all. You would think coming out of COVID and filming, the girls would be much calmer, much sweeter. But we were, I think, coming out of the quarantine, we were like, oh my God, so happy to see each other. And in 2 seconds, it went absolutely insane. I think you realize what's important in life, what's not important in life. And everybody was so raw, so real, saying whatever the fuck they wanted, truthfully.
Yeah.
Baby doesn't always work because everybody was getting offended. So that's really what it was. And for my tagline, finally, you guys are going to get to see me renovate my 120-year-old
house. And Margaret, this is your fourth season, isn't it? This is your fourth season.
Yes, my fourth season.
Like,
yes.
How does it feel like time-wise? Does it feel like a lifetime or does it feel like, you know, your first season was just a hot minute ago?
It's funny. It feels like I've always been on the show, but then it feels like it went so quickly.
Yeah,
it's like, I can't believe it's my fourth season already, but it feels like I've always been here.
Yeah, like you fit in so naturally. I start kind of watching Housewives like maybe season one, season two back in the day, the Jersey Housewives, and then it kind of just went a bit askew, and I kind of just got a little bit bored with it. So I came back to it literally on Margaret's first season.
Yeah.
So I've been hooked. So I feel like I'm starting
kind of fresh with you. Love, like, it's like just that was so iconic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was just, you know, it was a natural fit for me. It was right timing. Obviously, you know, that crazy soggy flicker was not good for me. it worked out perfectly.
I just rewatched that scene where you guys were doing some sort of like therapy session and you were reenacting the cake scene. And it's so iconic. But I mean, I'm expecting nothing less than that from season 11. I mean, the first episode is called See You Next Tuesday. So basically, I'm getting from that it starts very chilled. You know, everyone's best friends. Yeah. There's no murder going on.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday. I mean, that's exactly what you're going to get from it. It is so crazy. I could not believe I've seen the first episode, obviously.
Yeah.
And we really see it at the same time that everybody else sees it, just like 2 days before you guys, yeah. Since we're doing press and everything else. I was shocked. I was like, wow. I forgot this even happened. I can't believe it's the first episode. And it comes out with a bang. So everybody who has seen it, the press and everyone else, like, this was the best first season episode of any franchise.
Oh, my God. So that's really amazing. I'm so excited.
You guys are going to love it. Does it come out in Ireland? Does it come out the same time it comes out?
The day after.
The Housewives over here is a really cult following, because if you want to see the Housewives, there's a big like Housewife fan community, but you kind of, we use this app called Hey You. And they have all the reality shows.
Hey, you know, Hey You,
yeah. So that's massive here. Whereas it's like only shown on one TV channel. Like, whereas in the States, I know it's on a few different things. And
yeah,
like, it's massive.
We see it about,
we're on Bravo.
We see it about 6 hours, about 6 hours after it shows in America. Yeah. It's available in Ireland on Hey You. And every gay who's worth their salt is on that app at 9 a.m. waiting for the new episode to show.
Well, I love it.
Yeah.
Can we
have to come to Ireland as soon as they open up travel. I'm coming. You guys have to host me.
Yes, absolutely. Margaret, you are on. You are on. You have to bring Marge Senior, though.
Oh, yeah. Little Marge Senior. Believe me, she'll be hanging on for dear life. She doesn't want me to go anywhere without her. Oh, she I wouldn't so say funny. So.
What I was going to ask, though, you know, like when you see the episode for the first time, like obviously that was filmed before. So does it kind of feel like a distant memory that, you know, or what's it like seeing that back? Do you remember, or does it feel a bit like...
No, you remember. It's like reliving it. You have the same anxiety and stomach ache you have if something's going wrong. You have the same joy and laughter. Mm. It's a very weird feeling. Some things you forget. You're like, I didn't say that. And it's like, if it's coming out of your mouth, you definitely said it. You forget a lot of things, but it's like almost reliving it. But you have the same anxiety and panic if something goes wrong. It's fun. It's actually fun.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you look like shit. And you're like, oh, my God, how did I wear that?
And actually,
I forgot to do the back of my hair. You know, crazy stuff like that.
Did you find that, like, when you went, say, from starting your first season as opposed to now, did you find that, like, do you treat it differently now than you did then? Or is it just the same?
You know, I feel like I'm the same person since kindergarten. I treat it differently to the fact is I realize what works for me. I would have got a facelift anyway, but once you see yourself on TV, and I got on the show when I was 49, so now I'm 53. So I was like, holy shit, you do look fatter on TV. I don't care what anybody says. Because when people see me in real life, they're like, wow, you look so much younger. Well, I did have a facelift, but they're like, well, wow, you're so much smaller. Definitely adds 10 or 15 pounds. Yeah. Certain outfits do work for TV and certain don't. You know, I like to wear flowy. I'm always like, you know, very
you're like a little bit of glamour. Yes.
Yeah, very 70s. Yeah. I'm very into the glamour. Sometimes that stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you know, because you look like a house. But otherwise, but, you know, I'm just myself, whatever. Yeah. Like, even this season, I was like, if I didn't want to wear makeup, I didn't wear makeup. I try and be authentically, you know, it's my authentic life. I don't like to change it more than I normally, you know.
I think that from the Housewives like that have stuck around and kind of the iconic Housewives, like, I think that's kind of the ongoing theme, isn't it? It's like that they're like that all the time. It's like they are real as such. So
exactly.
I think it's not, have to be.
Yeah, it's not unusual for me to be spotted in the supermarket in my pajamas, but wearing a fur coat, eyelashes, and sunglasses. You know, I might be in my pajamas on these days.
But you also say it how it is. Like, when I say we cackled for days after you described Jennifer's lip liner as a monkey's asshole, which, by the way, I was there with you. I was sitting beside you. I was like, let's do shots after this comment has been made. Like, you say it how it is. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, when it was in my face like that, Yeah. That was the first thing that came to mind. Like, Melissa said to me, I go, that's what it looks like. Have you ever not seen a monkey's asshole? The lips were so big. It was so outlined. I was so, like, she was so in my face. I was like, that really looks like a monkey's asshole. Why would I be jealous of that? Are you insane? I mean, come on. You got to say it the way it is. I could move on from a comment, yeah, but, you know, you just got to call it the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, if I look like shit, someone should tell me.
Well, I mean, lots of the franchises have gone through so many changes, but I feel this current cast of New Jersey is so strong. Everyone's got their own things going on. There's nobody being carried, if that makes sense, which makes me very excited for season 11.
Yes, no one is. I think we have an amazing cast. Truthfully, we do all like each other.
Yeah.
We could fight, but I don't have true disdain for anybody. The person who I don't get along with anymore, obviously, the famous ponytail pull.
Yeah.
Can we give her, she needs her title. She needs her title. The original granny, the OG.
The OG. The original herself, granny, Danielle Stahl.
The yes. killer of candles. The yeah. owner of a husband in a pool. Yes.
Yes, the owner of the husband in a pool. I mean, granted, she did. She got me from behind, but that was it. But that was the only person. And I don't even have disdain for her. I kind of feel sorry for her. But she was great for TV while it lasted, but she became very unhinged.
It must have been very strange, though, because, like, you two kind of hit it off at the start. Like, you were
I really liked her.
Yeah.
I cared for her. But that's what it is. She was like, I couldn't understand. She had, like, a twist. She's the type of person you can't be upfront with. She likes a smoke blower.
Yeah.
You look beautiful. You look this. She likes you to lie to her face. I'm not that person.
No.
So as soon as I couldn't smoke blow anymore, it didn't work for her.
Yeah. She's narcissist. She would just,
total narcissist. Yeah. Start making it was classic. But, you know, her and Marty only lived not even a half a mile from my house, my same town. They moved. She moved to be near me.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, talk about a single white female. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy shit. And it was insane. But when he finally sold the house during the pandemic in the summer, and she had to leave, I almost felt sorry for her because I don't even know where she went. But she was like, I'm buying the house. I'm doing this. I'm getting ready.
Yeah.
You know, she believes her own line of shit.
Yeah.
She would just constantly make up stories.
People like that kind of have to buy their own shit because it's like, it's the only way I think they can kind of get through life. It's like just by believing your own bullshit, really.
Yeah, but the truth is she was convincing to some people. Like Teresa's like, she's buying the house, hon. No, she's not. She's a chronic, you know, she's pathological.
And do you think Teresa was buying into it, or do you think she was just like TV buying into it for storyline?
I think at first Teresa kind of believed it. She goes, hon, she said it. I was like, oh, come on, Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even when Teresa said, you know, to Danielle to pull my hair, I know Teresa
that was
didn't
shocking.
Believe me, we were all shocked. Even production was shocked.
Yeah.
They didn't look at that footage at that point until Danielle said it. And that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Teresa was so upset. But Teresa, and she still says it to me, Jay, she would never think that she would come drag me across. She thought it's going to be like a little schoolgirl thing.
Yeah, like
pull the hair. Yes.
That's what she went in. And you were speaking about Marty there, and that's one of the reasons that I think people love, like, Jersey, New Jersey, is because all the husbands, like, that's a different, like, kind of dimension that you don't see in the other franchises. Like, I love all the house husbands. Like,
we love Joe.
Yeah, we love Joe.
Thank you. He's a great,
adorable.
The house husbands on our show are amazing. They're so part of our story and they're always with us. We all have great marriages, even though there's always drama, you know, and stuff like that. But they're real characters. They're big personalities. We're the only franchise that really has that, which is great.
Oh, I love them. I can't get enough. I'm like, they just totally make it for me. Recently, actually, I don't know, there's a place actually over here. It was, I saw an advert came up on TV and it said, Housewives of Jersey starting this. And I was like, the New Jersey Housewives are back. We have a place over just on the coast of the UK called Jersey. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. By the way, the funny part is my mother, Mark Sr., goes, what the hell is this?
Yes.
What are they casting a new show? You know, Mark Sr., internet star. I was like, Mark Singer, I think that's in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Like, so I tuned in. I thought it was going to be like the New Jersey. And I say it couldn't be Jersey because Jersey's like this weird little kind of like tax haven off the coast of the UK. turns out it was a different franchise, but it was so boring. Like, it was literally, it was so boring. Yeah, like, compared to, like, I was gearing up for something like New Jersey, it was like, it was not New Jersey at all.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, shocking.
It is shocking. Lexi, who works with me, you know, she's from outside of Manchester.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no way. Okay.
But she's lost, and she came here. So her accent is half New Jersey, half from Manchester. Oh, that comes out. Yeah.
That's
and it's, and it's, yeah, and it's so funny. We always laugh about it. But we always say, you know, she always shows me stuff, the scouse brow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's literally like, it's like a different planet over here. Like, it literally is. And actually, that leads me to, do you ever hear about some of the international franchises, or have you ever seen any of them?
Yes, of course. Which one? Ladies of London.
Ladies of London. That was with Bravo, I think, though, wasn't it?
I think that was,
that was with Bravo. Yeah. Yes. What are these shows? Tell me some of the other shows.
Oh, we love Melbourne.
Melbourne was good.
Gina Delano, the hair, yes, the makeup, yeah, the lashes, being yes, a judge.
We like the big over the top.
And they actually did, they did Dublin Wives from Ireland. They did that years
ago.
They did. Well, see, they tried to pull a fast one and they called it the Dublin Housewives. But Bravo took legal action and kind of shut them down. Yeah. So it's kind of iconic over here because it was
one season.
Margaret, it was so bad. Like, in a really iconic.
And we can say that because we're Irish and we know some of the girls.
Like, Dublin is too small and Irish people are so kind of, like, chill to try and be like something like that in this small town. It's never going to fly. But the episodes were so, the people still talk about it to this day, but I think Bravo tried legal action, so they had to be called the Dublin Wives.
But the Housewives, I mean, but I have to come there.
Yeah. I would love it.
You do.
I would so love it.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd have such a good time.
And you know, when the OC Wives came, they had their cast trip to Ireland. They came to Dublin. And I just felt like this is not the right bunch for Ireland. Like, it wasn't
the
right.
I can see the New Jersey girls.
Yeah, the New Jersey girls were like,
the Jersey girls need a trip to Ireland. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What other franchises do you guys watch?
Every single one of
them. We watch them all.
Oh, right. Like, we don't.
So what do you think? Okay, let's talk about, what do you think of OC this year?
I enjoyed it.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't feel like any of those girls really have strong relationships, and that was the problem.
Yeah.
But like, from what we're hearing, there's a reboot, but there's one or two really key players that I would love to see staying part of that. But I miss Tamra. Yeah. I really miss Tamra.
I know. I would love to see Tamra come back. Yeah. I'm friendly with her. I would love to see her come back.
The reunion, I think, was the best part of the whole season.
I agree. Yeah. There's a few favorite lines for me. You're the worst lesbian ever.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of very funny.
Very good.
You know what I mean? It's just like, just the way she said it, Elizabeth, like that. She was stronger in the reunion than she was the whole season.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And then when Bronwyn said, if your vagina smells like tuna, you better get to the doctor.
Fair.
I thought that was very, very funny. You know, there were some good lines. I thought Kelly was very offensive at the reunion.
At moments, it was insane. Like, there was just moments where you're kind of looking at the TV like, is this actually...
I know, me too. I was like, oh my God, wait, we have to talk Salt Lake City. I know, I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
No, keep going. Because, we're hooked in. Mary Crosby is an enigma. We can't figure her out. We're obsessed. We want more and more and more Mary.
I am too. By the way, I love Mary. Some people don't love her. I'm like,
I love her
come
too.
On, people. And she is amazing because she is who she is.
Yeah. And Meredith Marks and her commitment to the bootleg trouser is impressive. But also, just, she's so chill. It's like she's just woken up from a nap every single moment of her life.
I say that too. I'm like, she has family. No, she is amazing. I love her. I love Meredith Marks. I think she's great. Everybody here loves Heather Gay.
Oh, like, same here. All the gays love Heather Gay because she's so relatable. Yeah. So relatable. So fun. Good time gal.
Yeah, she's a good time. She's fun. She's great. Jen Shaw, I mean, she tries a little too hard.
It's nuts, but it's one of those things that...
But like, it's great for TV.
It's great TV, but that's only going to go so far. People are going to kind of go, okay, now enough of that. So that could go either way. But Margaret, one thing that I always want to know, I always think this about Housewives, like, you know, just actually about like the makings and how it kind of rolls. And some people say like, oh, you know, oh, it's scripted, it's this, it's that. Like, it is real as such, isn't it?
It's not scripted. I'm saying it right this very second, it's not scripted. When I first got on the show, I'd said to my family, I was flying to Boca, which you saw the cake thing. That was my first trip. I had filmed like one thing. But I go, this has to be scripted. I said, there's no way I'm going to fight with these girls. It is not scripted.
No, like I'm like, you know, any anti-mask or any people, I'm just like, it's not scripted. Like I'm such a housewife defender to make people know that it's so real. I'm like real, you know, it's like my religion. I'm like, no, standing up to you. And one other thing that I'd love to know is, do you ever have times, you know, when you're mic'd and you're mic'd up and you kind of like, you obviously forget that you're wearing the mic. You say something, that is the one thing that would kill me because you know you're going to say something shady.
No, by the way, I forget. I pee with it on. I'm like, oh my God, I'm peeing with the mic on. It's very common, and that's how they pick up stuff.
Yeah.
That's how, it's very common to forget that you have the mic on.
I mean, that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Margaret, we so appreciate you taking this time to chat with us. Before you go, I want to just say, everyone needs to go on and look at the MacbethCollection.com. She has absolutely everything. There's links to all over the world where you can find her stockists. Check out Margaret's podcast. It is called Caviar Dreams. The brand new book, Caviar Dreams, Tuna Fish Budget, is out on April 13th. And you can find her on Insta at TheRealMargaretJosephs or Twitter at MargaretJosephs.
Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Oh my gosh, don't get too excited, Margaret. Thank you so much.
I can't wait.
Okay, we're going to cut that there, you guys. That was the start of our interview with Real Housewives of New Jersey's Margaret Josephs. Absolute darling, we loved her. And if you'd like to hear more from that interview, you can head over to our Patreon right now for our bonus episode, which has even more of our chat together, plus a whole lot more.
But now it's everybody's favorite time of the month, of the week. It's
Rotter of the Week.
Right, it's been a while. We haven't done any rotters in a long, long time. I know our lists are bulging, but we're not going to divulge them all today. Davina, what is your rotter of the week?
Oh my God, there cannot be just one. Okay. There cannot be just one.
Give me two, because it's been a while.
Yeah, and it's been brewing, and there's so many. I'm like, just looking at my list here, and I'm like, okay, which am I going to like get out now? There is so many. Okay, so this one was actually given to me by a friend of mine, but actually it really rots me as well for lots of different reasons. And it's, you know, when people are in a coffee shop, or they're, say, like, well, obviously not now, they're not in a coffee shop, but if they're ordering a coffee, say, for example.
Okay.
And they'd be like, hi, you're like walking around, they're like, oh yeah, look at this, Mary, look at this. And they'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna buy my coffee now, can I get a tall white, and a croissant?
Just how they say the word croissant.
All of a sudden the accent comes out and they're like speaking a la francais. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, are you're multilingual now, are you?
Yeah.
But you're like, clearly they're not multilingual and they're just putting on their airs and graces. Or be like someone who said, what's for dinner? Yes, I'm just going to rustle up a beef bourguignon. Do you know what I mean? It's like, or what's for that? Crumble, you know, and you're like, it's fucking beef bourguignon. Like, did you do a Rosetta Stone at the weekend?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's so notions. It's notions and it's hilarious. But yeah, it rots me.
So basically, see you, Hilaria Baldwin. Watch your back, because Davina has you on her rotter list.
Yeah, like turning it on and off, gas.
Okay. My first rotter of the week then will be dodgy temperature checks, okay? Because myself and Davina did a COVID-friendly gig in an actual TV studio very recently. And we both arrived in full drag. Now, anyone who's not been in drag knows that you get a bit troppy. And troppy means very warm. I had a corset on. I had about 6 wigs on my head. A very warm costume. All the layers. I arrived and my temperature was 0.3 over 37 degrees, which for anyone that knows is too high, right? So I'm there and I'm like, oh God, after all of the preparation we'd put into this gig, are we going to be allowed in? Then Davina comes out with our one woman show of comedy act. You can take it from here, D.
With, well, the guy was kind of a little bit of all right. So I thought, I was like, well, listen, bearing in mind, I hadn't seen a man in a few weeks. So I thought, this is my opportunity. And he was taking it really seriously. And I was kind of saying, I was like, she's padded up and everything. Like,
look at her in her garb there.
Yeah. I was like, she's padded up. I was like, just, and kind of basically just, go on, let her in. And he was like, oh no. And it wasn't even like you were like highly over.
No, I was 0.3. Now, earlier that day, we'd been in for a whole rehearsal, and I was 35.9. So it was clearly my pads and all that jazz.
Yeah.
So what did you say to him?
So well, he was like saying, oh, he's like, let it cool down for a second. And I just said, measure these. And I shook my titties at him.
Take a temperature check of these bad boys.
Oh, I think everything got it. And he just laughed like it was actually just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, right, if we just throw the comedy on, we'll get through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he's like, I'm going to have to call the boss and see what happens. So when he went off,
sweat more, like, to be honest, you were looking at me, yeah. And then he was looking at me, and I was like, okay.
I know. I could feel you, so, and I know what you get like. And so I was like, as soon as he went out of earshot, I said, go outside and cool down now. Which I knew it was just like the rush of getting there. You were grand.
Yeah, it was totally grand. But anyway, then he went and got the second temperature, like a backup temperature checker, and I was fine. But for that 5 minutes, I was sweating, literally, that we weren't going to get to go in.
It was hilarious.
Hilarious. Okay, what's your next writer of the week?
My second one is people who sing along to things really loud in public. You know, like if there's a song on the radio, or say like if you're in a taxi, or you're in a shop and there's something playing and somebody sings along like they're trying to win a fucking Grammy. Did you ever hear it?
Yeah.
And they're like, and you're just like clearly singing for everyone's benefit around you. And you're like thinking that they are like Celine Dion, and just like, no. Please zip it. And a lot of people now, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of people are singing out loud in the streets because they have their masks on. Have you noticed that?
No.
Yeah, well, it's very, very annoying. So if you're singing along like you think you're about to win a Grammy, chances are you're not even nominated.
I can't react to this. Oh my God, because it is Valentine's this week, and in the spirit of sharing, the person that I'm seeing sings very loud, very, very loud. And if I say anything, he's going to be like, you told Davina to say this. That's why that's her role.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so glad I said that then this week.
And it's not
a bitch.
Valentine's is ruined. Davina Devine ruined it.
It's actually very rude to be singing like that in public. Nobody wants to hear you. Shut up.
No comment. Okay, my next roar of the week. Okay, this is a bit of a reach, okay? There's a lot of thirst trapping going on in new directions with drag. And I've noticed in particular, like, some drag queens, the only way they can get a bit of attention is literally to be boy thirst traps.
Why? Oh my God.
Why are you saying
I have that written down on my list.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I'm like, okay, yes, I did my first TikTok style thing this week, but I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about whipping your top off, waggling your ass in front of the camera, and it's the only way that people will interact with you. But if it's just normal drag stuff, like, obviously no one seems to give a fuck. So that's starting to really rot me. I'm like, you're a drag queen. Go do that on another page. This is for drag content.
Yeah, I have written down thirsty drag queens with mask posts.
I have
that down because I've noticed that as well. And I think it must be a thing that's just happening a lot on social media. Look, I don't care what people post. It's up to, like, it's not about that, but it's the tone of it that just, it rots me.
It makes me eye roll. I'm like, girl, get a grip. Listen, like, people need to let go of this, like, holding on for masculinity thing as well. I blame the dating apps. I get it. Gays are fucking vicious, but also, like, whatever. Like, next week we're going to see you up, like, doing your thing to Ariana, like.
Yeah, either way.
Exactly. I'm curious to see who you were talking about, because I know who I was talking about.
I don't know who I was talking about, because this list is going back along. This has gone back since, since we took a break. So it could be anyone.
Well, that was our Rotters of the Week. If you ended up on the list, watch your back, because we and our listeners are coming after you. Rotter.
So that concludes our first episode of season 3. We are back and back with a bang. It's so nice to be back. And thank you for all the messages throughout the last month looking for us to come back. So it's nice to be welcomed.
Yeah, I absolutely was dying to talk some shit with you. Please interact with us. Leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, especially on Apple, because we get to see them and we absolutely cackle when we see them. And also a reminder, we have our new Patreon, Davina.
Yes, we've just launched our Patreon. We're just kind of finding our feet with our Patreon, so bear with us.
Yeah.
We've lots of extra content and things like that. So head over to our site and check out all the different options. There'll be extra interviews and some video content and things like that.
Mm-hmm, because we do this podcast completely for fun. We are not making money off it, but we would like to make it even better. We have lots of ideas, but if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by visiting our Patreon.
And that's it. That's the end of episode 1.
Yeah. So until next time,
stay petty.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.